Welcome to installment 119 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Prohibition number 111 regarding chromim, which as we discussed yesterday, are objects, or in this case land, which has been declared ownerless and consecrated by its owner. And the prohibition here is that one may not redeem the field after it has been placed in chedim. We will also begin a discussion of the agricultural laws with Prohibition 215, the prohibition against planting kilayim, or a mixture of different types of plants. Prohibition 111 is not to redeem certain types of consecrated belongings or possessions. As we discussed yesterday, there is the category of erechin, objects which the value has been donated for holy purposes. For example, the upkeep of temple grounds. There is, however, a more absolute form of donation, which is chedem. A person absolutely consecrates a certain object. This idea of chedem is a positive commandment, and one is forbidden to sell it after it has been placed in absolute consecration to anyone else, as we discussed in yesterday's portion. This is unlike erechin, which can be redeemed and returned to the owner's possession by adding 20% of its value. Another prohibition in association with this idea of chedem is today's prohibition 111. As the verse states in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 28, lo yimocher v'lo yigoel. Not only may one not sell the consecrated object to someone else, he may not redeem it and bring it back to his own possession. What is done with this if it is not redeemed? The Rambam quotes in Sefer HaMitzvahs from this Sifra that it goes to the Kohen, as it is stated explicitly in the verse. Let's say the person has donated it not to the Kohen, but rather to God himself, which means that normally it will be used for Bezek HaBayis, for the upkeep of the temple. In that case, perhaps it also cannot be redeemed. The Rambam quotes the Sifra, which quotes the verse, the word who. The verse states that who, this only applies to it, the regular type of chedem, the regular type of consecrated object, which is given to the Kohen. However, one which is consecrated for the sake of the temple grounds, this one can be redeemed, as it explained also in the Talmudic tractate Erechin. The Rambam quotes the basic idea of chedem, as explained in Erechin, is that when a person states, without explaining clearly where he wants this consecrated object to go, it must go to the Kohenim. And it is just like Truma. The Truma must be given to the Kohen, and cannot be redeemed later on to be given back to its original owner. As we know, the law of Truma is that 2% of one's produce approximately must be given to the Kohen, and must be given only to the Kohen to eat, and not to anyone else except him and his family. A chedem is similar, except that after it has already been given to the Kohen, unlike Truma, which even then remains in the Kohen's possession and cannot be eaten by anyone else, the chedem, however, can later on be sold by the Kohen to anyone to whom he wishes. The Chinuch describes the principle behind this commandment, and he explains that all of a person's possessions, although they have been given to him, really ultimately belong to God, that since God created the world and everything in it, including the person himself, everything ultimately is in God's possession. Nevertheless, God has given his blessing to the person and given them certain physical objects in order for them to use, and to sanctify, and to use in a holy way. However, after the person has declared that this thing is in chedem, he has uttered a language which indicates a curse. He wants to remove this object from his possession. It cannot be given to anyone else. He has in fact severed his own connection to this object, and it immediately and automatically goes back to its original owner, and its permanent owner, who is God himself. This can be understood by us in a more practical, personal fashion, that we must realize that the mitzvah of chedem teaches us that everything which we own is not really owned by us. Rather, it ultimately belongs to God. And furthermore, we have the power of making it completely for God's use, and not at all for our own personal use. In other words, those physical possessions that we have been given to us exclusively for the purpose of serving God. And not only our personal physical possessions, but even our soul and our personal powers and abilities, all of them have been given to be sanctified and to be totally devoted to the work of God and the purposes and the goals of the Torah. They have been given to us not to do with them what we wish, but rather this that God wishes and that the Torah teaches us. The second mitzvah of today's portion is Prohibition 215, with which we start the portion which corresponds to the seventh of the 14 books of Maimonides, Sefer Zroim, dealing with different sorts of laws governing plant growth. Prohibition 215 is the prohibition of planting kilayim. Kilayim are any two different species of plant life which are planted close to one another. This prohibition is derived from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 19. This verse describes different sorts of forbidden mixtures, such as livestock and different materials of fabrics, which we'll be discussing in the coming days. The verse also states, do not plant your field with different species of seeds. Sodcho lo sizra kilayim. Therefore, in one field, a person may not plant, for example, a row of cucumbers and a row of tomatoes right next to each other. There is a certain distance which must be placed between them before one can plant another species. There are many details in the measurement associated with this prohibition, as explicated in detail in the tractate Kilayim. When a person does plant two species, or even assist in the growth of these two species, as in other biblical prohibitions, a person is punished by malchus, by lashing. However, as the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvot, this prohibition applies only in the land of Israel, that the prohibition against planting two different species in proximity is only in Israel. And outside the land of Israel, one is allowed to do so in Chutz La'aretz. There is not even a rabbinic prohibition against planting these two different species in proximity. However, this mitzvah does contain one aspect which is equally applicable in the land of Israel as well as outside Israel. In fact, all over the world. This relates to the grafting of trees. By grafting one species with another species, one is transgressing a biblical prohibition, and one incurs the biblical prohibition of lashes, at the times of the temple, that is, for making such a grafting any place in the world. And this is derived from the same prohibition, number 215. Therefore, the grafting of different sorts of trees to produce, for example, a nectarine, which is a mixed species from two different types of trees grafted together, a person that does the grafting would be transgressing this prohibition. However, after someone else has already done the grafting procedure, the fruit itself is allowed to be eaten, and therefore the nectarine itself, for example, is not prohibited. The Talmud tells us in Mayat Katan that on the first day of the Hebrew month of Adar, the Jewish court would announce that everyone should be careful to ensure that his field has no mixture of seeds, no kilayim, no different species planted in proximity to one another. This was the first day of Adar. On the 15th day of Adar, the court would send out messengers to tear out these different sorts of vegetation which would be found to be kilayim. They would tear them out and feed them to the animals. However, they discovered that the people were in fact happy that this was being done. After all, their field was being cleared of kilayim, and their animals were being fed in addition. Therefore, the court changed the rules. Instead of instructing the messengers to tear out this forbidden plant life and feed it to the animals. They commanded them to tear out and discard any of this forbidden plant life, any of this kilayim. However, they discovered that the farmers were still happy with this arrangement. After all, the messengers were saving them of the trouble of clearing the field. Thereafter, the Beis Din decided it was time for drastic action. Instead of instructing the messengers to do anything with this plant life, they instructed them to merely note which fields had this forbidden kilayim growing in them. Once the Beis Din was notified that these fields had kilayim in it, they declared the field hefker, that it was ownerless. And the law of an ownerless field is that any individual can come and take any of the crops he wants. Therefore, the farmers realized that having the kilayim in their field would cause them to lose the entire field. And after this enactment was passed, the Beis Din, the Jewish court, did not thereafter have any problem with farmers planting kilayim. The farmers were meticulously certain that all of their fields were absolutely clear. Thank you for joining us for the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam, and please join us again tomorrow.